Hello, my podcast family, and welcome to another episode of Future Educators Talk. I am your co-host, Demi Anderson, and as you could see, you do not hear my good friend, Andrew Frett. He is not here with me on today episode, but do not worry, he will be back next week. So it is just me for today. So the topic for this episode that we're going to discuss, well, I'm going to discuss, is Black students are not learning their history in schools. That's very interesting, right? Black students are not learning their history in schools. So let's just hop right into it, okay? So, I am currently in college right now, but when I was back in high school and middle school and elementary school, but most importantly in middle and high school, when I was in school, I was like, now this is kind of like my honest opinion here. This is my opinion. So you may probably disagree with me or not, but I'm just go ahead and say it. I'm just like, I'm 19. So this is how like I felt when I was back in school, especially in middle and high school. I was kind of like starve for information about who I really am. And that just because I want to know everything, you know, about me, where my ancestors and all of them came from. I want to know something about me, and we didn't kind of like do those sign of quarter things when I was in school, because I want to know my history, because it is very important. Honestly, it's very important. So I wish I kind of had learned more, will learn about that in school. Now, I ached to, you know, hear stories about people who look just like me, Like, for example, you know, President Barack Obama, that admired me so much because he, and like I said, President Barack Obama, he was the first African-American president of the United States. And that just, for 8 years, wow, that just, wow, blew my mind. I just didn't imagine, you know, in my time, well, that I'm in, my generation, and I know, like, other generations that in, and I get that with them, with their generations as well, like my mom and my grandmother, especially my grandmother, that she would see a Black African-American, the first Black African-American to be president of the United States for 8 years when he was reelected. And that just, and to me, I was just like, oh my gosh, wow. So incredible right there. Absolutely so incredible. But yeah, so, or kind of like see the names of Black scholars, in math or science. You have, who was doing math calculations, Katherine Johnson, she was an amazing woman. Sadly, she passed away a couple days ago, at the age of 101. Wow, 101, that's incredible. Absolutely incredible. I hope I can live up to that time. And she impacted me so much as well. President Barack Obama, Katherine Johnson, lots of other people, lots and lots of other people. And so that's just, so yeah, I just ached to hear stories about people who look like me or see the names of Black scholars in math for science or even kind of like talk about Africa. Now, okay, or probably without talking about poverty and slavery. Now, I get that, kind of talk about that as well. So, and here's the bottom line here, people. This is what I feel like today is February. Today is Wednesday, February the 26th, 2020. And I feel like today, all over the world, not just where I am, not where Andrew's at, not, it's everywhere. I feel like today, too many Black children, they are not having the exact same experience. Now, I know I'm quite still young. I'm 19. But I'm talking about everyone. All Black students. All Black kids. From elementary school all the way to high school. Now, I know elementary, that's probably like, I don't know, probably y'all may, I don't know if y'all gonna agree with me or disagree here on this, but I don't know, should they, the elementary kind of, well, especially like the lower grades, but kind of like the upper grades, like third and fourth grade, to learn about their history, where they come from. So that's kind of like I feel right there. I don't know about, you know, pre-K, no, that's obviously too young for them, when they're in school to learn about that. I don't know, this is like my honest opinion. Kindergarten, first grade, second grade, still babies, still little. Why'd I say that? They're still babies. Well, now third and fourth grade, I think that's the right, and then onward, that's just the right amount. So, I don't know, but they are not today too many Black students. They're not having the exact same experience. So that's kind of how like I feel about that. Now, what do I kind of mean by that? Is kind of like, so, okay, here we go. I'm going to dig right deep into this. Too often, too often, people, please listen to this. Students, their first exposure to Black history, which is, we've been celebrating this all month long, we're about to come to the end. This is the last week of February, but we should do this not just for February, but all throughout the year, because it is important to learn about us, Black people, period. It just is. We need to learn more about, you know, their struggles, how they came to be, and all the things, so forth and so forth. So I feel that students, their first exposure to Black history occurs through the study of slavery. That's what I believe. Their first exposure to learning about Black people is about the study of slavery. Now, to me, I don't. That should not like be their first exposure. I mean, yes, it is important to learn about that. But I don't feel that's kind of like what we should all be talking about to our Black students. I know it's very important, like I said, but we should talk about more than just slavery to them. This is just my opinion. I deeply do not know. So there's just many other things as well. So for me, I just don't know about that. Now, and also too often, Africans, they are portrayed in school as savage, barbaric people. Okay? They are portrayed in schools as savage and barbaric people. Now, those who kind of like came to Americas, they were lucky, okay? They were lucky because they were safe from savage, unstable, poverty-stricken Africa. So that's what I feel about that there. Now, you have, now, to that, the reality is, for this, is thousands of years, Black history exists before contact with Europe, okay? I have researched this here about what I was saying earlier about they are Africans, they are portrayed in schools as savage, barbaric people. Now, and also, I believe here, this is my opinion again, okay? Here's what I think. Now, I know there are teachers who are listening to this podcast. So, listen to what I'm about to say, because this may, I don't know, I'm not trying to like hurt nobody's feelings here. I am speaking the truth. And I know some of my friends and classmates, they probably gonna agree with me on here. Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. But this is my opinion. Everyone has different opinions about this. So I feel like teachers today, and when I was in school, they do not know enough. They do not know enough about the history of African civilization to teach to their students equitably. Okay? They don't know enough about it. Or they do not know nothing about it at all. Which kind of like saddens me a bit, because we need to know this information. We need to know all the facts. We need to know everything about us, about our ancestors, about us, where we came from. And to me, I don't feel like that they don't know enough about the history of us to teach to their students. I just don't think that, people. I just don't. So, I don't know. Teachers, let me know. What do you think of this? message me. I will post a question about this on all of our social media platforms to where y'all could comment it. Because I'm sorry, I feel like that y'all do not know anything or probably enough about the history of us and try to pass it down to the students. I just don't feel like that. Now, what I'm talking about here is, I do not want to say this because I'm not racist, people. I'm not. I have white friends. I have black friends. I have all mixtures of friends. And I'm not trying to hurt nobody's feelings. I'm just speaking the truth. I'm mainly talking about the white teachers. That's who I was focusing on. Black teachers, I know that they are teaching their students about this. About, you know, where we came from. But to me, I feel like the white teachers, they just... I'm deeply sorry. But that's how I feel. I'm not trying to hurt nobody's feelings. Like I said, I am not racist. I am not. I'm a kind, loving person that pretty much get along with everyone that I come in contact with. Like I said, I have a mixture of friends group. Black friends, white friends, you name it. All different kinds. So I just don't feel that, people. Now, moving quite like along, now you have like black scholars like W.E.B. Du Bois and Carter G. Woodson. I was trying to think of those names in my head. But these two right here, they realize the only way to liberate black Americans from shame, or about anything about our origin, would be to educate ourselves about who we truly are. Like I said earlier, they're just not learning, the students, they're just not learning about who they really are. Black students, they're not learning who they really are about trying to like study black history, all that what happened to us. How do we came to be? What is our story behind it? Stuff like that. So... yeah, that's what I feel about that. And quite about teaching the history of African civilization, it increases everyone's accurate understanding of war history. Okay? So by doing this, and doing so with this, black people's rightful place as equal actors, okay, in history, it becomes visible to all of us that we come in contact with. It become very visible to all of us. Now, I search about Carter G. Woodson, a couple days ago, and he intended Black History Week, okay, before, which later, you know, it became Black History Month as a whole, and he did this. This is like to teach the history, like I said earlier, to teach the history of black people in our totality. Not just in America, people, but everywhere. Everywhere. Not just here in the United States, in America. Everywhere. Okay? Now, but it quite also, it has taken probably like an incredible amount of work by the Pan-African scholars to kind of like to change the entrenched of the, what I'm trying to say here, of the European mindset, the Eurocentric mindset, let's put it that way. So much, for all much of the 20th century, the scholars, they kind of like debated what should have been obvious. What should have been obvious about this, the history, that ancient Egypt was an African civilization. But yet, even today, people, even today, Hollywood movies, they continue to depict the Egyptians as European or non-black. So, yeah, that's something there. Now, another thing to add is that I am proud, very proud to say I can trace the totality of my family's Black history story, and even quite like timeline in both Africa and the Americas. Now, with this information, you have the new wave of Pan-African scholars. They are using genetics, archaeology, and other scientific advances, but to present more African picture of Africa, this is, you know, just to present the more accurate picture of Africa. So there you have it there. And kind of like with these tools, you guys, like again, with these tools, I am just proud to say that I can relate the totality of my family Black history story and timeline in both America and Africa. And just like probably with almost all Black people by doing this. So we can trace, I believe that we can trace our African history through the empires of Ghana, Nuba, and Malaya. These three right here that I just mentioned. And we know our ancestors were rice farmers. We know that. We also know that our enslaved ancestors, they first arrived in Virginia. And later, they later traveled to Arkansas. Okay, you could look that up, study that up for your own. But, and also, here's this right here. Here's the good information right here. Okay? To us, African Americans, we are Mandia people. We are Mandia people. If I said that correctly. But this is like this is a part of a larger kind of like of the Mandingo ethnicity, okay? And they came to America in the late 1600s. So you can search all this up here. And I just feel that they are now, when I have children on my own, and I quite like encourage all of you, all of the African Americans, that your children know about their ethnicity. I know how to say this word. I'm just having a hard time saying it, but y'all get it. Learn about their history, who they really are. Like I said earlier in the episode, let them know who their ancestors, all that, who they are. Because it's very important for them to know about the history of how we got here, where we came from, how we got here, and how are we doing right now. Right now in today's society. How are we doing right now? So, and when you do this, they will know that their history is a long, rich, and deep. They will know that about their history. That is something long, rich, and deep. As kind of like the Western history, they are forced to learn in schools, which I found this out a couple of days ago. They learn about this. They are forced to learn about this in their schools. So, I'm just fulfilling about this. This is kind of like amazing here. Now, I read up this article that I can't think of her name, this woman's name, but she is, and this article is like about back in 2019, but she is like developing a course and a curriculum to pass this gift on to as many Black kids, students, as possible, which is, I believe, this is nice, absolutely nice, to learn about their history. This is good. And one of her goals that she wants to do is to fulfill Carter G. Woodson's dream. What was his dream for Black History Month? For Black students to know who they are and where they came from. And the beauty, the power, and the complexity of African society. Civilization, I put it that way. This is great what she is doing. Absolutely fantastic. Passing it down. She wants to fulfill the Carter G. Woodson's dream. What was his dream about? So this is awesome. why did I laugh like that? Y'all excuse that laugh. But this is, again. We need to teach our Black students about their history in schools. And like I said earlier, with the topic is Black students are not learning their histories in schools. Because why? I feel like, I'm sorry, I had to bring this up again, but I feel like the white teachers, they do not know nothing. No. Let me not say that. They do know something. They just do not know enough. They don't know enough about the history of African civilization to teach to their students. Now I know they do know something. They do know something about it, a little bit about it. But they do not know a whole lot enough about it as a black teacher would, because he is African American or she is African American. They just do not know enough about us, who we are, what is our ancestors, where do we came from, how did we get here to today, how we're going to be in the future, which is very important, very important. So that's what I feel like. I'm sorry I had to bring that again, but that is what I feel like, people, that they just do not know enough about it. And that's what I felt when I was in school, back in high school and in middle school, especially in high school. I just don't get it. But again, we need to teach our students, our black students, about their history in schools, because where are they going to learn it from? Of course, you know, at home, you know, their parents, but while they're in school, I know they are learning. We should also teach that to them in schools as well. We teach them about history, but they just, it's, I know history is very important. We do not need, I don't know what I'm trying to say here. We need to teach them more. Teach them, because they are not learning enough about it in schools. They're just not. Absolutely not. That's just, yeah. Is what I feel about that. So please, teach your black students about their histories. Because it will impact them in their lives to come. It will. It really will. So that's all I quite have to say about this. It's just really, like we mentioned, me and Andrew, that these topics for this season, we are really, really searching for these kinds of topics to talk about, because we are going deep into these topics this season. Season one, you know, that was just our preparation. We was just getting started. We were just like babies there. We was just getting started. Didn't know what we was going to do, you know, how I was going to talk about these topics. It was just kind of like basic topics back then of what we was talking about, but it was also very important, because I believe back in season one, we talk about obviously mental health, which is so very important, people. It is. It absolutely is. So we talk about that back in season one. Let's see, I'm trying to find another good topic that we talk about. We also talk about bullying. Well, actually, Andrew did, and then I kind of did in season two, I believe. But bullying, which is going on around the world today. And I just cannot, and like I said in one of the episodes back in season two, I cannot stand when somebody bullies another student or a kid. I cannot stand bullies. They're just haters. They're wanting attention. They just feel like their whole world is upside down. And you want to take it out on a student who did absolutely nothing to you? Or you don't... It needs to stop. Like Ellen says at the end of her shows, be kind to one another. Be kind to one another. It's not going to hurt you. It's not of being kind to one another. Oh, gosh, it's just... Woo. And recently, there was a student who got bullied. And I'm just... I don't know what to think about that. But I will talk more about that, that student who got bullied, and there was like lots of supports behind him. They're standing up for him. So I will discuss that topic on a very special edition of Future Educators Talk. So stay tuned for that. It may come out this week. So stick around for that when I'm going to do that, talk about that. So we talk about a lot of things that's important. And also, our season one finale, Darren, he talks about the 2% of African American male teachers in the education system. We said this a lot. Well, not quite like a lot. We mentioned this. We said this, that they need to raise these numbers up. They need to do this. They absolutely need to do this. Because this is just ridiculous. The 2%, that's ridiculous. They need to bring it on up. And also, some very important topics that we also talk about was being a black male teacher. We talk about that. I believe we had on a special guest. Now, this was back in season 2. We also talk about, do districts actually want black male teachers? We talk about that. We also talk about how high crime neighborhoods make it harder for kids to show up at school. That was a very interesting topic right there. Interesting. Very interesting. Then we also talk about an 8-year-old boy. He killed himself after the school, they cover up the bullying. Ugh, my gosh. I can't stand bullies, you guys. I can't. I really cannot. They just, bugs me to death. See, I'm getting quite like chills right now because it just, this needs to stop. It has got to stop. Stop bullying one another and be kind and loving to one another. And if you can't do that, just, oh my gosh, and just go away. Just go away. Please. Because this is ridiculous. Of now, students, they are bullying each other. Which is wrong. We need to teach that in schools. We need to, at your homes, everywhere. Because now it's kind of like a big issue. Like, week after week after week, I'm kind of like scrolling down through my Instagrams. Well, I'm scrolling down through my social medias. And I always come across that a student has been bullied. And I'm just like, really? Are you kidding me? Absolutely ridiculous. I can't. See, okay, my heart is racing kind of like on this, so I need to just calm down a bit. Calm down. I cannot, you guys. I cannot stand bullies. I can't stand up to that bully. We also talk about teen vaping. That's very important. Teen suicides. That was very important. We also talk about trauma-informed teaching, the how and the why. Supporting students living in foster care, where Darren, he shared his story for the first time on our podcast. Some very interesting topics, you guys. Very interesting topics. Why are educators leaving the education field? Why are they doing that? And then also our very first episode of season 3, we talk about the Black Texas teen who was told he must cut off his dreadlocks to meet their school policies in order to walk a graduation, which is nuts, ridiculous. And also on episode 2, we talk about colleges wants to track students. So we did that. There was lots of topics that we had discussed that was very, all topics are all the topics that we had discussed, they were very important, but the ones that I just mentioned out, those are really great topics that we had discussed on here. I keep saying great. I want you to use something else than just great or good. But those was some topics that we really wanted y'all to hear about. And us as well, what we feel about these topics as well. So I'm just like, so that's it for this episode, you guys. That's it. So now, the question of the week. The question of the week is, are Black students really learning about their history in schools today? Now, I may just keep it just like that or switch it kind of like around as something else, but I want to know, are Black students, we want to know, me and Andrew, we want to know, are Black students really learning about their history in schools today? And if so, why? Tell us. And if not, which I believe they are not, tell us. Tell us, comment on this question by using the hashtag Future Educators Talk. And we would love to hear from you guys about this. So please let us know, because we absolutely love to hear what do y'all think about, you know, the episode. And obviously, what are your questions that you want to ask? What are your concerns? Is there something that you didn't agree on with us? We want to hear from you guys. Is there something that we should have added or whatever? Again, we want to hear from you guys. We want to hear, because it supports us by letting us know that you care about this podcast, that you support us. You support of what we are doing. You are sharing your opinion with us, your concerns. So we want to know, so please let us know by using the hashtag Future Educators Talk on all of our social media platforms once this question is uploaded. Okay, so that's kind of like all I have for today. That's gonna be it, people. So yeah, that's gonna be it, I believe so. Like I mentioned, Darren, he will be back next week. So y'all stay tuned with us on next week. So I'm going to sign off on here for today. So, and this episode is not a long episode on today. It is just about 46 minutes on today. So without further ado, I got that from Andrew. So without further ado, you guys, I am your co-host, Damian Anderson here, and I hope that you enjoyed this episode, and I will see y'all in the next episode. So have a fantastic Wednesday, hump day. Bye, you guys. Hi everyone, I am Damian Anderson here, and these are your FET news for today. We will announce our new co-host very soon, so make sure you stick around with us to find out who. Subscribe to my YouTube channel, Weekly Education Talk, that is the new name for my new show. And hit that notification bell so you never miss an episode when it comes out. Also, Brunch Talk with Darren Frett may return very soon, so stick around with him to see when. Brand new episodes of Future Educators Talk comes out every Wednesday, so make sure you have already subscribed to us, like, whatever, so you get notified every time there's a new episode out. Make sure you follow us on our social media platforms. Go to facebook.com/futureeducatorstalk to like our page. Go to Twitter at futureedtalk to stay up to date with what's happening on our podcast. And on Instagram at futureeducatorstalk for behind the scenes moments, videoing, recordings, whatever, all those good stuff. So follow us. And subscribe to our YouTube channel, Future Educators Talk, because we will be going videoing very soon on our podcast. So make sure you already subscribe to our YouTube channel, because we will be going videoing very soon. And hit that notification bell so you know when there's a new episode out, when we start going videoing. Because if you don't, then you are certainly missing out, okay? So subscribe. Well, that's it. Make sure you listen in to today's episode of Future Educators Talk. We are celebrating Black History Month all month long, and today's Black History Month reading is Katherine Johnson. Katherine Johnson was a brilliant mathematician whose calculations of orbital magnetics were the backbone of many successful space flights. In 1953, Johnson began working at the National Advisory Committee for Aeronautics, or NACA, with the West Area Computing Union, a group of African American women who manually analyze and compute vivid data. Although the women's mathematician contribution played an essential role in the success of the U.S. space program, they were segregated from the rest of the faculty for several years. That did not change until 1958, when NACA transformed into the National Aeronautics and Space Administration, better known as NASA. Even with integration in effect, working as a woman in the STEM field was often a tense task. The presence of race and gender bias within the male-dominated field was prominent. Calculations were often brushed off as women's work. Johnson persists nonetheless. As her career progressed, her work gained the full recognition it deserved. One of the most prominent moments of her career occurred in 1962, when astronaut John Glenn requested Johnson to double-check the calculations of the trajectory of the Friendship 7 spacecraft. She took the same numbers that had been programmed into a computer and ran them skillfully, by hand. While she was working, Johnson recalled Glenn saying, "If she says they're good, then I'm ready to go." With Johnson, mathematician assistant, Friendship 7 became the first main spacecraft to successfully orbit the Earth, restoring the United States as a strong contender in the space race. She continued to work on groundbreaking projects for NASA, including the Apollo 11 mission that landed the first man on the moon. Johnson was awarded the U.S. Presidential Medal of Freedom in 2015 for her contribution to Friendship 7. During the ceremony, President Barack Obama said, "No one knows that John Glenn would not fly unless Katherine Johnson checked the math." The sad truth is that no one knew about the work of Johnson and the community team because it simply was not taught or heavily spoken about. The untold story of the West Area Community Unit is a reminder that we, as a society, need to ensure that these important moments of history do not skip between the cracks. These astronautic strides in history would not have been possible without these intelligent, dedicated women and their calculations. Johnson is a woman of many achievements and accolades, but what I admire most is the way she evaluated herself gracefully through life and through her career. In a field where she worked was intentionally overlooked and undermined, she remained kind, confident, and determined. She did. She let her intelligence and numbers speak for themselves until they could no longer be denied. Although her capabilities have been undermined for years, Johnson stayed persistent and passionate about the work she loved most. Wow. Johnson persisting is something we should all strive to emulate in our lives. We should, people, we should. Her story is a reminder that we need to go after our passion, regardless of what society tells us we can and cannot do. Did you hear I just said that? I said her story is a reminder that we need to go after our passion. Go after what you believe in, regardless of what society tells you, what we can and cannot do. So go after your dreams. Go after your passion. Don't let nobody tell you otherwise. She was residing in West Virginia. Johnson was 101 years old. When she can, Johnson promotes the movie Hidden Figures with the hope that it will inspire young girls to pursue jobs in math and science. So, I encourage everyone to watch this remarkable film because I assure you people, I only scratched the surface of her wonderful life. okay? I only scratched the surface of her wonderful life, because she had a beautiful life on this earth, a wonderful life while she was on this earth. So, the sky was never the limit for Katherine Johnson, and her pioneering work for NASA will now continue to get the recognition it deserves. So, as we remember the men who reached the stars, let us never forget the women who helped them get there. Absolutely. Absolutely. So, sadly, Katherine Johnson died. Yes, she died recently at 101 years old. She had an incredible, incredible life on this earth, doing what she loves to do best. So, rest in peace, Katherine Johnson. You did amazing work while you was on this earth.